The book, The Turquoise Table by Kristen Schell, is our podcast sponsor. Kristen, desperate for a way to slow down and connect, put an ordinary picnic table in her front yard, painted it turquoise, and began inviting friends and neighbors to join her. Life changed in her community, and it can change in yours too. Alongside personal and heartwarming stories, you'll read about some stress-free ideas for kickstarting your own turquoise table. Simple recipes to take outside and share with others. Stories from people using turquoise tables in their neighborhoods. You'll find The Turquoise Table on sale everywhere books are sold.
Hey, Delilah, it's Kristen Schell.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm excited to be talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. I'm excited to be talking to you and to share the concept and the hope of The Turquoise Table with all of my listeners.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's funny, as I heard about your book and then delved into it a little bit, I thought, oh my gosh, this is what I try to do on the radio every night. In a very tangible, real, anyone can do this, get to know your neighbor sort of way, you've taken such a beautiful thing and made it so simple for everyone to reach out and love.
Well, absolutely. I think we might be kindreds in that way, and I certainly have learned a lot from you.
So tell me about your personal turquoise table and what led you to decide to do that and put it out in the yard.
So, you know, it's been almost 4 years since I put an ordinary picnic table in my front yard and painted it turquoise, and in the hopes of getting to know my neighbors and building community, you know, kind of right where we live. But the backstory, which is always way more interesting, is really kind of the fascinating part of it and the journey of it. So when I was in middle school, I was beat up in my middle school years. And we all know 7th and 8th grade is not a ton of fun anyway. And so when you get beat up, it's not a good thing. And so my parents took me out of the school that I was in and sent me to a neighborhood, you know, parochial school, just a Christian school in our neighborhood. But that particular school had a different set of rules for chapel services and for taking communion. And so since I wasn't the same denomination, I wasn't allowed to have communion. And so, you know, looking back now, you know, I was not invited to that table. And it hurt. It was awful. You know, being in that awkward, you know, kind of preteen and teenage early years, it wasn't a lot of fun. And so ever since then, there's been this like desire to belong and to be included, not only for myself, but then to notice people who maybe don't belong or don't have a seat at the table and welcome them. And so the story ends up, you know, really, really good. I made my way back to church and to God and you know, as my relationship and faith were growing and my walk with the Lord was growing, I took that table idea and wanted a place where all people could be welcome, but I didn't know how to do it.
So what inspired you? I mean, I get the backstory, but what made you think one day, I'm just going to put a picnic table in my front yard and see who'll come and sit down with me?
Well, that's pretty much what I did. It was almost like a dare, you know, and it was, so I was having a party with a friend, and we needed a really inexpensive table or two for this party. And so I ordered an ordinary, you know, picnic table, and, you know, you can visualize the exact one. It's the most, normal picnic table out there. And so I had it delivered, and they're heavy. Picnic tables are heavy. Wooden ones are. And so the delivery guys left it in our front yard, kind of right near the edge of the street. And then they came to get me to ask, where do you want this picnic table? And when I saw it, oh my goodness, Delilah, it was like this aha moment. It was this moment of, you know, maybe it belongs right there. I am going to leave it right there. And I know that sounds crazy, but I did. We, of course, put it in the backyard for the party. But that next week, we painted it turquoise because it's my favorite color, and we put it right back out in the front yard. And so the idea and the concept, you know, it was just a hypothesis at the time was, okay, what if we take our backyard activities, our, you know, things we're doing normally, you know, eating dinner, doing homework, having, you know, lemonade stands. What if we were to do all of these things at this table and invite others to join us?
And what did your neighbors think when you first went and knocked on the door and said, hey, we're having hot dogs out in the front yard instead of hiding away in the backyard. Want to come and join us?
That's exactly what we did. For the very first day, though, before I had the courage, because this is a little, you know, this could be kind of crazy, right? I mean, a turquoise picnic table in the front yard. So before, and in hindsight, I probably should have asked, you know, permission and not forgiveness. But I didn't go around the very first day and say, hey, guys, I'm putting a table in the front yard. I actually put the table in the front yard and went outside and sat there. And that day, I met a neighbor. And a woman who I had never even seen at the grocery store or the post office. I'd never even seen her drive by. And she was walking in the neighborhood and she stopped and we started a conversation immediately. And, you know, 30 minutes later, we're sitting at the table having a great conversation. And Susan, you know, who I never would have met or most likely would never have met. And I now, you know, we're friends. And so that's how it started at my table. It was very, spontaneous and really, quite frankly, in all honesty, not very well thought through. you know, I just.
But it was real. You don't think through real when something happens that's real. It's not a planned thing. It's not a purposeful thing. It's like when somebody takes a great snapshot of their kid playing in the sprinkler. It's real. Then you see somebody who's posed and hired lighting and a photographer. That's not real.
Right. Right. So this was, trust me, it's real. And it still is very real at the table. So that was my, you know, just first encounter. But you know what it was too? It was such encouragement that, you know, that here, you know, within 5 minutes of meeting someone, that it was time to maybe take the next step and do it again. And so I did. The very next day, the kids and I went out and had dinner. I mean, I don't even remember what it was, but I guarantee it was on paper plates and it was whatever we were going to be eating anyway. And so we tried dinner and, you know, and waved at people. Nothing miraculous or out of the ordinary happened that night, except we got comfortable. And so we enjoyed being out there. And then I invited a couple of neighbors to come have coffee. And, you know, simple and very spontaneous. Hey, tomorrow morning, you want to come sit at the turquoise table? And that's when, you know, they were like, what is this? What are you doing? What's the idea behind it? And I just shared my heart. There wasn't a plan. I just said, hey, what if? What if we were to use this as a really, you know, simple gathering place for all of us to come to the table and there's no rules. There's no plan. Let's just try it out.
And now it's become a thing. It's become like a movement across the country.
Isn't that crazy? It's a thing, Delilah.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
And it doesn't even have to be a turquoise thing.
It doesn't even have to be a turquoise thing. In fact, you know, really the rally cry now is to live as front yard people. And, you know, whether that's at a turquoise table or Adirondack chairs or a front porch swing or whatever works in your neighborhood and your community, it's just about, you know, living more accessibly and in community with one another.
I think that's so funny because that's a buzzword. That's such a phrase now. You hear it, pastors from the pulpit. You hear it from graduation podiums. You hear it in, you know, those online videos you can go watch where you get all pumped up. Everybody talks about community. And yet I live in a community. I live like in a village. I've got family and friends that live on my property and kids, and I take in other kids, and we have foster kids and stray kids. And people say to me, that's so weird. Why do you do that? 'Cause I believe God created us to live in community. Well, yeah, but that's weird that you have people sleeping on your floor. They don't have a place to live.
Right.
So I believe in community. Well, that's just weird.
Right? Well, you know, and I live in Austin where, you know, our city motto is, you know, keep Austin weird. So maybe I had an edge up by putting a, you know, turquoise picnic table in my front yard. But, you know, it's not, of course, weird.
It's weird, not weird. It's not what our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents do. It's what people in developing nations, how they live. It's what God intended us for, is to be a part of a family, a village, a community of hearts connecting. It's not weird. It's good. It's wonderful.
I know. So what's weird is that we're not doing it intuitively. I mean, if we want to talk about weird, you know, when my husband and I laugh now that, you know, that I get to talk about trying to create community, which is, I mean, it's the oldest thing. I mean, it's the oldest thing ever. There's nothing new about it. We just need a reminder, because there's so many distractions and we're pulled in so many different ways, via social media or just schedules or just this crazy, you know, frazzled lifestyle, that the table has just come to serve as a talisman and a reminder that there's more. You know, that we need, you know, that there's such, you know, beauty and richness when you slow down, you know, and unplug and just enjoy really the simplicity of, you know,
connecting heart to heart.
Yes, absolutely.
Of loving people in a very real way.
Yes.
I appreciate you. I appreciate your story. I appreciate that you're helping people across the country to come out to the front yard, come out to the front porch, and love with all their heart. You keep doing that in your book and your travels and your speaking, Kristen. I'll keep doing it on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks. Bye, Delilah.
Slow down and love someone with Delilah.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.